Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types from a left-wing perspective. It is almost Christmas time.
December 23rd, 2016,
and by the time you hear this on Netroots Radio, it'll be either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Yeah.
We've been away for a couple weeks.
We have.
And we've been getting all sorts of frantic texts and emails.
Yeah.
And begging us to come back.
I'm sorry. I just want to say to everybody that we've been gone. We have not abandoned you. We have set into a tiny bit of nihilism, but we have not abandoned you. And we are here and we are going to talk about the news of the world.
If we can.
We're going to do our best. We've been busy and there's been stuff going on, but...
Well, let's just get it off our chest, right?
Yeah.
So 2016 has been a year.
It has.
It's been an obnoxious year. There have been all sorts of personal issues we've had to deal with, world issues, obviously, the election. The frustrating part of that is 2017 doesn't look to be much of an improvement. In fact, it could be... exponentially worse.
No, it's just everything is awful and nothing matters.
Except it does, and we're going to try to sort all that out.
I don't feel great about 2017. Like, cool, we don't have Barack Obama anymore, and now we have Orange Cheeto Caesar. It's going to be another year.
Yeah, and, you know... Orange Cheeto Caesar isn't really the worst of it. The worst of it is the Republican Congress and the people that are being put in charge of all these important government agencies.
Yep.
And they're
the
already laying the groundwork to try to root out people who care about climate change, root out people who care about equality issues. So it's going to be a nightmare. And there's a couple things I think that we have to do. First off, there's some people that are devoting their energy to saying... well, it won't really be that bad. There's only so much he can do.
He only has so much power.
Right.
It's just the presidency.
Right.
As though the presidency of the United States of fucking America is like, you know, I don't know, the Queen of England. It's not, by the way.
Yeah, I wish it was that ceremonial. And
it's not.
It's not. But, I mean, worse than that, it's not like... he's going to be in there and reckoning with at least one house of Congress that's able to oppose him.
Oh, no. We gave them everything, you guys.
Yeah, literally
everything.
We gave
them everything. So they get both houses of Congress, the presidency, the Supreme Court, all the things.
All the governorships, most of the governorships, most of the state houses.
Yep.
People... and the frustrating part of that, of course, is there's more of us than them. That is, people who don't want, you know, a new Cold War, a nuclear proliferation, and the erosion of reproductive rights, and the erosion of LGBT rights, and rolling back of these things, and the elimination of voting rights. The Americans, by and large, don't want these things, but they've allowed it to happen because of our two-party system. One side gets in line and the other side fights among themselves, basically. I mean, that's a very crude, broad explanation of what's happened, but it sums it up.
Yeah, but here's where we fall down. Is Republicans remarkably sort of came together after Obama was elected and said, we aren't going to have any of this shit. We're not going to do it. And they built a wall, essentially, around government and said, we're not going to have anything that he wants to get done. Publicly, they said that. And through their actions, they did that. I think...
and they didn't pay a price.
They didn't. They sure didn't. And I don't think our party, obviously, is strong enough or has the backbone to do that. I think we will just whine to the media and let
because they've got our back, right?
Shit happen. But really, I mean, where are the Democrats? What are we doing? What the party isn't. When Obama was elected, It was a surprise to a lot of people. And when he was reelected in particular, it was a shock to a lot of people. And the Republican Party and their base stood up against him and said, we're not going to allow you to do anything. Now, the people, a very small minority of people, but a loud minority of people spoke, and they spoke at town halls, and they spoke to their congresspeople, and they made phone calls, and they, you know,
yeah, they got organized.
They got organized, and they prevented most of the substantive legislation that Barack Obama wanted to accomplish in his 8 years in office. I don't know where that's going to come from on our side. I just don't see it.
Well, that gets to my next point, right? Because if you're still in denial that Trump and this Congress are going to try to take away your reproductive rights, are going to try to take away your voting rights, are going to try to take away your rights as a worker in terms of
your health care,
your time off,
your Social Security. Your Medicaid, like, Medicare, everything.
Understand that this is all going to happen, and it's all going to happen fast.
And they told you this when they were running.
Yeah.
This isn't like we're making this up out of thin air. This is exactly what he said he was going to do, and then he's going to do it. And we handed him the keys to be able to do it by whatever fucking happened on Election Day. We gave them everything. We said, here are the keys to the future that I have to live in. Go ahead and have fun with it. Just shit all over my future, please. That's what we did. That's what we as a communal society decided to do on Election Day. And so now I'm hearing all these heartbreaking stories about these fucking Trump supporters that are like, oh, my husband has cancer, but now I'm going to lose my health care. He can't really do that, right? And it's like I'm torn between this mix of like, fuck you, and also like, that's heartbreaking. I wish you had healthcare. And I'm kind of in this place of like, I don't want to help these people anymore. Like, I'm so tired of helping people that vote against their own interest and mine. And they're like, well, I didn't really think he was serious, or I didn't really look at the thing, or I didn't really know that.
It's like, was connected to Obamacare. Mitch McConnell said it was something different, and I believed him.
Like, I'm at this point of like, at what point do I end my toxic relationship with these people? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, at what point is it like, look,
I think
lose your health care. Because there's nothing I can do now. I was committed to building a better society and a place where that woman could have health care, and so could her husband.
Uh-huh.
And then she voted against that. And I didn't. And now I feel bad for her. But like,
well, that's where the other side has. It's so ingrained that I don't think we'll ever reach them. Because all they listen to is their local right-wing talk radio or their religious radio, which pushes the same political agenda.
Yeah. Or Fox News.
And so they'll never get out of that bubble. I mean, they might get mad enough to second guess and vote in the primary for a different Republican who wants to do basically the same thing. But, you know, I don't think there's any reaching those people. And I'm going to get to more of this of a lot of sort of the knee-jerk reaction of, well, we got to reach out to these white working class voters.
God, I can't. Yeah.
And I'm based on their motivations for voting the way they did and supporting Trump, I don't see any real basis for any connection there. But I was going to get to a more fundamental point when you're talking about the fact that, okay, if you're still in denial, stop, because they're coming for your...
Yes.
Contraceptive rights. They're coming for your rights to an abortion. They're coming for your Social Security.
If you haven't already done it, get an IUD.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about your health insurance. I hope that your job offers it. If not, I'm sorry.
Well, they're coming for basically everything that makes your life possible and comfortable.
Everything that
they're
value.
Coming for all of it.
Yes.
And
yes,
here's the,
as they promised.
Now here's the question, right? Because what happened in 2010 when Obamacare was passed? The right organized, a combination of, quote, grassroots and corporate interests, got all these people out to town halls and shouted down their congressman, Republican or Democrat, and it built this huge wall of resistance that Republicans used to thwart Obama at every turn, basically.
Yes, correct.
Now, do we have the wherewithal to do that? And of course, the maddening part is most of it was fiction. It was about death panels and pulling the plug on grandma and socializing your medicine and keep your government hands off my Medicare and all
this
other.
Wait list for doctors,
right?
And
all this other nonsense.
Mm-hmm. None of it was true.
But now real life, when they're really coming for your reproductive rights and your Social Security and your health insurance, mm-hmm. and your child care and your S-chip and everything, they're going to come and try to gut.
Yep.
Between Paul Ryan and Trump and the Republicans in Congress and everything. Are we going to show up at the town halls and organize, right. and yell at our, right. congressmen and march and flood the emails
because
and the phones?
The answer is no.
Well, it can't be.
And
no.
That's because the reason they were yelling wasn't because of any of that. They were yelling because there was a black dude in the White House, and that was very upsetting for them.
Sure, sure.
And so that racial resentment, as we have called it, which is maybe a euphemism for fucking racism, led a lot of otherwise apolitical people to organize and build groups, okay. and grassroots organize. Okay. And so I feel like
but that's
we
my
have
point,
become
Rachel.
An ineffectual party. We have become this group of like, let's just, I don't know. I don't
so
see
are
it.
You saying that the lady in semi-rural Kentucky who is got so much racial resentment that she's willing to lose her dying husband's health care because something the blacks want too much, like she's got more passion to act than the otherwise apolitical person who really doesn't want to lose their reproductive rights and their health care and their Social Security? Like,
yeah,
they can't be motivated now to stand up to this?
I mean, I don't see it. Do you?
I mean, I don't see it, but they haven't realized it yet. Like,
so,
this is going to be real now.
Who's? Because it is. That's right. Like, all the things that the right was afraid of didn't come to pass because it was all bullshit. All the shit that we are afraid of is going to come to pass, is currently coming to pass, and will affect actual human beings' lives. And I don't think anybody cares. I think everyone
is in
this fucking...
Well, they'll care when it happens to
them.
Yeah,
but it's too fucking late. So maybe they'll care, but what will they do? Will they whine on Facebook? Will they complain to their friends?
Well, look,
will they,
let me,
I don't see any fucking action.
Let me give you one hopeful example where maybe that might not be the case. G.W. Bush,
yeah.
in his second term, decided, okay, now I'm going to get rid of Social Security.
Yeah, privatize it.
Uh-huh. Get rid of it, turn mm-hmm. it into... stock market or something ridiculous.
Yep.
And he went on this tour to try to explain it. And mostly his base, old white conservatives, said, No, you won't.
Oh, don't fucking touch that shit.
No, you won't.
Been paying into it my entire life. You're not touching it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So when Paul Ryan does the same thing, which he's gleefully excited about
doing.
So
excited to do. Yes.
Are they going to show up again? I would hope so. And that's one thing. Now, can other people get motivated to also not lose the things they need and want? I mean, you know, don't mess with old white people's retirement money, basically.
Yeah, that's always been the fifth rail, right? Like, touching Social Security has always been the death knell of anybody.
Oh, it's not enough to make them vote Democrat.
No, but it's enough to make them vote you not in. It's enough to make, if you start talking about that, it's enough to make a lot of old white people go, not that guy.
Yeah, but Paul Ryan's been talking about it for 8 years. And of course, there was this make-believe rift between the two of them, but now they're going to be locked in arms trying to gut everything.
The thing is...
I mean, Trump and Paul Ryan, that is.
Right. I think the thing that I want to say about that is that I don't think Donald Trump has any ideas, and I don't think that he's smart, and I don't think he wants to govern.
Well, he's got a few really bad ideas.
So he has a couple of really horrible ideas.
Right.
But in terms of actual governing, I think he has been handed this gift of an entirely Republican Congress, House and Senate, with people leading it that are smart and conservative. And
I think you've actually got it the other way around.
He will sign off on whatever they want.
Right.
And he doesn't care. I don't think he understands most of it. I don't think it matters to him. I think it matters that, like, old white people will be happy, sort of.
They won't.
In the short term.
They'll be happy
that's
on inauguration
conservative
day.
Values. But whatever Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell decide to do is what's going to happen, because Donald Trump doesn't have ideas. He doesn't
have a
plan. No,
he's going to rubber stamp everything.
He's going to rubber stamp whatever they decide to do. And to me, that's almost more terrifying than him. Not quite, because him being the president is in and of itself just a fucking horror show. But the idea that we've just handed our entire country, and I'm not talking about like a little bit of it, I'm talking about all of it, like both houses of Congress, most governorships, lots of state houses, lots of state senates,
well,
lots of everybody. It's all, they get their time now. They get to do what they have been yelling and screaming about for 8 years. And Trump's going to rubber stamp all of it because he doesn't know or care. And we get to find out if they were right. And
points.
We all know they were wrong.
Hold on, Rachel. But, 2 points.
Yeah.
We aired a rerun last week. And one of the reasons I wanted to air that was because Pierre and I, back in the day, were talking about all these polls on these important issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Contraception, abortion, Social Security, entitlements. And the Republicans are way on the wrong side of all of this.
Yep.
Yet they rule, they have hold dominion over yep. the government at every level in this country, basically.
Yep.
So
they're going to take, I mean,
but are people going to stand up and like, do they even understand this? I mean, I think most don't. They don't. We are so knowledge starved. I mean, at this point, we're fighting like obviously stupid fake stories to try to weed those out, let alone trying to have people hone in on the actual real news and policies. Like, we've gone so far off the deep end in this information age where we have 24-hour news and mm-hmm. and Twitter and all these other things. Like, it's created this cacophony where it's harder to actually get real news.
Yeah.
And then my second point was I've forgotten what my second point was. Well, oh, wait. Well, let's look at what's happening in North Carolina right now.
Yeah.
The North Carolina State House is basically saying, well,
they elected a Democrat as governor.
So we're going to gut the powers of the governorship, and we're going to basically make all these laws permanent. And an expert on third world countries has come in and said that North Carolina is no longer a functional democracy.
That's correct.
It's more like Iran or Venezuela. Or right. Central American.
Essentially,
Banana
what
Republic.
Happened is like, I apologize, my voice. there was a really contentious governor race in North Carolina.
Very close.
And yes, and the Democrat won.
Uh-huh.
And the Republican tried to say no, 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 recount, whatever. And it was determined that the Democrat won. And the state House and Senate, however, were controlled by Republicans. So I don't understand that, but everyone voted for the Democrat for governor and the Republican
and their
for
local Republican
their local
for, yeah.
state house and Senate. So the state house and Senate decided, okay, fine. If you're going to elect a governor that is of a different party than ours, we're going to write a bunch of laws in our state that fundamentally undercut the governor's power. So that would be like if the Democrats won control of Congress and Trump won. And they said, well, the president is now the queen and has like no power and right. can't do anything. And yeah, this.
They're probably thinking, why didn't we think of that when Obama was elected? Well,
right.
he had a Democrat in Congress.
Right. So, yeah. So North Carolina is now considered the least functional Democratic state like in
and
world.
I'm going to be interested to see what happens there, because there is a pretty well organized resistance in North Carolina, like the Moral Mondays and. The NAACP is very active there.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to take this lying down.
I don't either.
So what that does, I don't know. But the point
is,
I
think it throws it into the courts, but we'll see.
The point is, I'm sure that Trump and Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell would like to replicate
that
on the national level and make it an entire banana republic on a national scale.
Yeah.
And are we as Americans maybe apolitical or us disparate factions of liberals, are we finally going to get on the same page and stand up and say, you know, no more? And because that's all we can do at this point. And I can't promise it'll be effective, but I know what won't be effective is doing nothing and hoping for the best. And that's the
and
sense.
And that's the thing that I cannot tolerate are these people who are saying, like, give him a chance. You don't know.
A chance to do what?
Every time he opens his mouth or fucking his phone and tweets, which is his new method of public policy, by the way. That's what he does now. He just tweets out what he's going to do, and it's horrifying, and we'll get into that later. But every time he opens his mouth or assigns a cabinet person or sends a tweet, I don't know how to justify give him a chance. Like, Jeff Sessions is the head of the DOJ. That's horrifying. The head of Carl's Jr., who hates the idea of a minimum wage and thinks that unions are awful, is the new Department of Labor cabinet secretary. Like, it's like he intentionally is putting people in these positions that hate the departments that they're going to be the head of.
Right.
I don't need to give him a chance. I didn't want to, and I'm certainly not going to now, looking at what he's actually doing. It's terrifying. It's horrifying. It's inexplicable. I'm so tired of this, like, we want America to succeed, so don't you want Trump to succeed? Like, yeah, I do, but it's not going to happen. Like, he's a goddamn nightmare.
Well, it depends on what your definition of succeed is. If a handful of the super, super rich get richer and that is considered success, then great. Meanwhile, the rest of us are going to get screwed. And
I guess that's the point. That's what they voted for. So I don't know. You know, I want to quickly talk about something related to this, which is the rift between my parents and I.
Which I think is being replicated in millions and millions of households all over
the country. I think so, too, especially because for some reason we decided to have elections right near Thanksgiving and Christmas. So
perfect timing.
Perfect timing. I feel very angry with them. And I live in a state that voted for Hillary. And that doesn't matter to me. That seems to be the common thread of people who want me to make up with my parents. It's like, well, we voted for her anyway, so who cares? And it's like, that's not really the point. Like,
yeah.
Look, their generation left me with scraps to try to contend with. And I was okay with that. I could make those scraps into a world that I wanted to live in. And then they burned the scraps. So I don't even have those. They burned the scraps that I had to try to deal with because they just hated everything that I believe in so much. Like, they didn't leave me with much, and then the little bit they left me with, they burned to the ground because I guess black people and gays or something. And it's really hard for me to, like, reconcile that with these people that I'm very close to, and it has caused a very great rift in my relationship with them that I think a lot of people are probably experiencing. I know some of the people that are close to me are experiencing, and I don't know really what else to say about it than that. Just like, it's personal for me. It's personal in a way that, like, we've been fighting about politics since I was about 11 years old. And we've always been able to fight and argue and have a discourse and maintain a level of respect, love, and admiration. And that is kind of gone right now for me. And they know it, and I know it. And when we talk, it is fraught, and it is uncomfortable. And if it's not that, then it's shallow and meaningless, and we just don't, you know? So I don't know what to say about that other than if you guys are going through that too, I'm sorry because it sucks and it's hard. And I don't really know how to contextualize it other than just in a personal way. Like, it's fucking hard. And I don't know that it'll ever be repaired. I look at them and I think about them and I look at my niece and I look at the future and I just think, like what you did to us. And you did it on purpose. And I don't know how to rationalize that, I guess.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. And I think of my father who didn't vote for Trump but also didn't vote against him.
Yeah.
And especially with some of the very, very obvious anti-Semitic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. that's going on with Bannon being in his yeah. ear. Like, that's yeah. very hard to reconcile and try to get where his head is at on that. And
like, even if you hate Hillary, you did not aid in stopping an anti-Semite from attaining the White House. Like,
yeah. Or, you know, if you want to say he's not, then he surrounds himself with obvious. Yeah.
And they're going to make his policy because, you know, he's not going to.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't vote for him.
So that's a conversation I'm going to need to have with my father, and it's not going to be pleasant.
Yeah.
And I've
had it a couple times with mine, and
I've just been avoiding it.
Yeah. It's been unpleasant, and in some cases, you know, really unpleasant. And it's Christmas weekend. It should be really fun.
Yeah, you have to go see them tomorrow.
I do. I'm going to go see them tomorrow.
Fortunately, my family lives all in Florida, so I don't have to.
Yeah, I have to go face to face tomorrow. And, you know, I love my parents and my family. And I don't normally sort of dread seeing them. But I just don't. I'm just in this. And they don't understand. My mom said to me, she tried to listen to the podcast. Maybe we should tell this story.
Oh, yeah. By all means.
So my mom sent me a text that said, "Hey, what's the name of your podcast?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I want to listen to it with your dad." And I said, "I think that you're going to hate it. And it's not meant for you. And it's not censored for you. And it's not edited for you." And she said, this was like right after Thanksgiving, because we had a big blowout Thanksgiving. And she said, "I want to know how you feel. And I don't know. And I want to hear it. And this is important to you." And I said, "Okay." So I sent it to her, and they listened to the No Boys Allowed, the girls podcast. And I think they got about 20 minutes in, and that's as far as they got.
Yeah, that was an especially pointed one.
Yeah, it was. That's why that's the one I sent them, because I said, this is one I'm particularly proud of. And if you really want to know how I feel, like, do this one. And she sent me two text messages. One said, "It was really hard for us too. Elections aren't generational. Especially the second election of Barack Obama, we were also in a period of mourning." Which is like comparing the re-election of Barack Obama to the election of Donald Trump is fundamentally upsetting. No.
Well, see, this is where the disconnect of reality comes in, right? Because your mother says that, but all the things she feared, literally none of them came to pass.
Right.
They didn't come and take their guns.
Nope.
They didn't lose their Medicare.
They didn't get on death panels.
They didn't get on. They weren't put in a concentration camp for
Christians or anything they feared. Right. Like, none of the things Barack Obama said were the things that they feared.
Their traditional marriage was not destroyed by gays.
Of whom their daughter is one. Nothing that they were afraid
now
of
on the, now on the flip side, we're very afraid of losing our reproductive rights, our insurance,
gay marriage,
all these things, our rights to work a 40-hour week, our
rights to time off. Rights, let's talk about immigration. There's going to be Muslim registry. These are not things that we're making up in a vacuum.
But hold on a second. The point is, your mom might say, "Well, your fear of losing all that is irrational," except
that's what he fucking said.
Yes, the people in power are promising to do that. A. B, if by some miracle, 2, 3, 4 years into the Trump regime, we haven't lost all that and it's pretty much status quo, I'll be happy to eat crow and say, "Yeah, you're right. It wasn't so bad. It was pretty much the same as usual.
Right.
We didn't make any progress, but you know."
Our institutions did hold, and we still have a republic, and I'm happy about that.
Great.
I'll say that.
I'll be thrilled to say it.
I will be thrilled if that's the fucking case. What I'm afraid of are the things he literally said out loud he wants to do.
And the Republicans in Congress.
Yes.
And the people he's appointed to these important cabinet positions.
Right. I'm afraid of what you said. And then we have this fucking Joe, whatever the fuck, on the news this morning being like, "Don't take him seriously. Take him metaphorically." Like, I don't know how to do that.
And I tweeted that, well, seriously, he's a completely unqualified, incompetent boob who should not be holding office. And metaphorically, he's an incompetent
Yeah.
Ridiculous boob who should not be holding office. So
exactly.
Either way, no.
Like, I'm not living in a fantasy world where I think that Trump's going to come to my house and rape me. That's my parents with Obama. I'm living in a world where he literally said, I'm going to repeal Obamacare. I think that women should go to jail for having abortions.
Yep.
Grab them by the pussy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just going by what he literally said. The things
that he said.
Let's build
a bigger nuclear arsenal.
Wall. We're going to have a registry for Muslims. Let's build a bigger nuclear arsenal and bring on the nuclear race. These are things that the actual human being said out loud, not things that I've constructed in my conspiracy theory mind.
Yeah.
So I think that the comparison is at the very least unfair. So,
and I don't know if that's a conversation that you'll have in depth with your mom at some point, because I'm always I
or
always
my dad.
Wonder.
Like I talk to them on.
Well, I always wonder these questions, right? When they say things like that, I wonder, and I'm sure you do. You turn around and say, "Well, what were the things you feared about the Obama presidency that came to pass?"
No, they don't hear that. They're like, "Oh well, you know." They just don't.
Is not an answer.
Well, it's not. And it's hard. It's not like I'm debating somebody in high school. It's my parents, so it's like, you know, you try to be I'm tired of being nice. I'm over it. Like, I don't know how many of you guys feel like this around the holidays, but I had such a reverence for my parents for my whole life, and like I really tried to make them happy and proud of me and all the things, right? I'm one of those kids.
Uh-huh.
And I have zero fucks to give at this point. Like, I literally just like don't care, because they fucking burned my world down to spite me. So why would I have any fucks left to give? I don't. And my older brother is very upset by that. It's very rocking the boat of me to do that, which makes him very upset. But I just have zero fucks left to give. I just don't. And so for any of you out there that are going home for the holidays or already home for the holidays or having a very uncomfortable conversation with your Uncle Bob from Indiana, I'm with you in spirit and I'm sorry. And you don't owe those people anything.
Well, that's a good pivot, right? Because let's talk about, we can't rely on the boomers to get mad about their Social Security and save us.
No.
Now, we saw the energy, right, from the Bernie people. At the Bernie rallies. Hold on. Stay with me here. Listen.
All right. I'm listening.
The Bernie people at the Bernie rallies and then at the DNC when, you know, they pitched a fit. Well, I hope this energy is still there. I think a lot of them are actually in shock still.
Yes.
But that energy needs to still be there to resist this crap. Now, a lot of that energy is still spent yelling at us because we didn't vote for Jill Stein or something. But
Bernie would have won,
which we caucused for Bernie. So we tried to make that happen. And then when we came
up
short,
fuck you.
But hold on. Let's not lose sight of this. I mean, we could get into a rant about them. But the point is, they had energy and it was persistent and consistent and it even surprised me. Like, I have to say, although I was annoyed when I was watching the DNC and like the California delegation and the fart in and the tape over the mouth, I'm like, wow, okay, I'm a little impressed. They believe in something. It might be misguided, but they believe in something and they're sticking with it. And there's something here. There's an energy here. Well, forget about your ideal Democratic Party candidate. Now it's a fight for like civilization and the Republic. And that energy better be harnessed to resist all the things. I mean, forget about the utopian, wonderful, super socialist things you thought you were going to get with Bernie Sanders or Jill Stein. Now they want to roll back everything 100 years. So that energy better translate into real resistance. And, you know, it better be there. That's all I have to say. And I will stand with you, obviously. But it has to be there. I mean, where else is it going to go?
Just like sheer derision and utter disgust right now, because that fucking energy should have gone into not making Donald Trump the goddamn president.
Yeah.
That's where that shit should have gone.
I know, but
not into your bullshit. And I don't where. OK, good. So now you're like, oh, fuck, he's the president. No,
Yeah, and they had a chance to stop it.
These people are paper. They're nothing. They don't give a shit. If they gave a shit, we wouldn't be where we are. I have nothing but contempt.
Okay.
Literally, like nothing. If you wanna fucking make me not be contemptible toward you, then show the fuck up and do exactly what Travis just said. But right now where I sit, you had a chance to make this apocalypse not possible. And you were so fucking smug and hateful and sexist and full of shit that you did or did not vote for Hillary or voted for someone else or did whatever you did out of your conscience. And now we have Donald goddamn Trump. So if you want to make it better, show the fuck up now. But like, I have contempt for these people.
Yeah,
I have contempt for Bernie Sanders, to be fair. I seriously.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that a little bit too. And something interesting did happen. And I sort of glossed it over and I was sort of in a little bit of denial about it. And you kind of caught on to it better than I did. And this was, I think, after there was a big round of primaries where Hillary just sort of cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is during primary season. It became pretty clear after that point, like, he's not going to catch up.
Yep.
But then for most of the rest of the primary campaign, it was scorched earth.
Yep.
And I wasn't really worried about it. I'm like, doesn't matter. The Republicans are a shit show. They're probably going to nominate Trump. You know, Hillary's got all this experience. It's going to be fine. Let them have a tantrum. And you were like, no, this is worrisome.
Yes.
The Sanders campaign is really kind of scorching the earth here.
They're hurting us. They're hurting the Democratic Party. They're hurting the possibility of us winning.
And you were right.
I was fucking right. And I'm telling you, like, in the last couple of weeks, I have unfollowed Bernie Sanders on Twitter and on Facebook and on every social media. I can't stand to look at his face. And it's because looking back at everything that happened, I hold him in some part accountable for where we are today. And that is that Bernie Sanders maybe would have won. That might be true. But he sure as fuck didn't help Donald Trump not win.
Yeah.
And secondarily, Bernie Sanders didn't do as much to turn the party left as he did to turn the party white. Mm-hmm. He was appealing to the same voters that Donald Trump was appealing to. The reason I say that is you can't talk to Killer Mike in that interview and get the race problems and the systemic racial injustice that exists in this country. Like, he gets it, and he does. He knows. This is why I hold him this accountable. You listen to that interview, and you watch him talk, and you understand that fundamentally Bernie Sanders fucking gets it. He understands the racial tension in this country. And then you watch him talk to crowds of tens of thousands of people for months and months and months and never once mention it. Not one time. Not one time does he bring up structural inequality or racism or Black Lives Matter or anything else. He never, and I screamed and yelled about it during the primary, like, he would win if he did this. But looking back, hindsight, you're like, no, that was intentional. Bernie Sanders was appealing to the white working class. He was appealing to those voters that voted for Trump. And he was intentionally not saying the thing he knew. Now, if I didn't think he knew, maybe he gets a pass. But I watched that Killer Mike interview, and he fucking knew. He knows. He chose not to talk about racism and not to talk about Black Lives Matter and not to talk about systemic inequality and racial injustice because he wanted to win.
Mm.
And what that did was mobilize and energize a base of people that could not vote for Hillary Clinton because she talked about it actively.
Mm.
She talked about it openly. She talked about it often. And he mobilized a group of people that ultimately either didn't vote or voted for Trump.
Hmm.
And I've been struggling with that in the last like week. Like, I've really been mulling it over, and I'm resentful of him. I am. Even his speech at the DNC in support of her was not enough. Looking at, you know, comparing the Obama-Clinton race and the Bernie-Clinton race, both were very contentious. I think the Obama-Clinton race was much more harsh. And looking at...
But more petty, too.
Yeah, yeah. But looking at her speech, her, like, go support Obama speech, and looking at Bernie's go support Hillary speech, it wasn't. It was go support my ideas. Don't let Trump win. He never really said, like, she's amazing. And all the things I said about her, like, he didn't. He just said, me more. These are the things we fought for. Blah, blah, blah. Like, he's a fucking... I know we're going to get a lot of shit for this, but I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
you are.
It's fine. It's fine. But I don't care because this is... I've been thinking about it, and I don't think I'm wrong. He did not... In some ways, maybe he moved the Democratic platform left. That's true. But his presence in this race really moved it white. Moved it toward... And he still... This is why I stopped following him. Every time some shit pops up on my social media or I see him speak or I have an interview, it's the same shit. It's the same, like, the Democrats failed because they didn't appeal to white dudes more. And, like, I'm just... It's like, I sort of just hate him at this point. Like, I don't hate him. I'm just looking at him through a new lens and his effect on this election and also his message at this point. Well, I'm resentful of.
I think there's definitely at least some truth to what you're saying. And the overall theory is interesting. I haven't really thought of it in those terms before.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's exactly fair to say in the course of his campaign he never talked about the things you're saying, but
never
I can,
in front of white folks.
I can agree he didn't do it enough.
No, he never ever said it in front of we talked. You can go back and listen to old podcasts, and I'm like, hey Bernie, say what you said in front of Killer Mike in front of white people.
Yeah,
and he never did. He never talked about racism ever because what our theory was back then was. Well, he's talking about systemic inequality in economic terms. So
right.
He's sort of dog whistling to people of color, right?
You can't do that.
You can't. You have to say, and white people who are suffering economically have it better than black people who are suffering economically.
Let me explain that a little better. I'm not saying you can't do that because they won't understand. I'm saying you can't do that because... At this point in history, the subtleties in dog whistling is not enough.
No, it's
not.
You
have to be clear.
You have to say, yes, white people have it bad, and man, coal country, you guys are really fucked. However, the black people in this country who live in poverty have it worse than you do. Because there
decades of systemic racism. Centuries.
Centuries of systemic oppression and racism. That was always the thing I was waiting for him to say. And I thought he was just saying... This is my message. It needs to be clear. It needs to be concise. It needs to be one thing. I'm not going to say this until that fucking interview where he was like, no, black people definitely have it worse. Like he will say it to black people, but he won't say it in a group of fucking 10,000 white freshmen at CU where I went to see him speak.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say any of that. The problem is that he knows. That's the problem. Like he understands. He is choosing not to use that language.
Well,
choosing not to use it. Let me
say this, though, because back with what we were talking before, that we need an organized resistance of young people.
Yeah.
Bernie's going to have to lead that charge if they still follow him. And I think a lot of them do. I think they're as sycophantic in that sense as a lot of the Trump supporters. And I think they are ready to follow him if he can organize them to resist what's coming. He's going to have to do that. And if he's still yelling about the Democratic Party, then he really is like delusional.
Yeah.
Because we're way past that now.
Well, he still this week he's not yelling about Trump. He's yelling about how the Democrats fucked up because we didn't appeal to the white working class voters enough and we are myopic and he was right and he would have won. And you're like, well, I hate you. You didn't help us win. You can yell and scream all day long now. And so can your fucking supporters, but none of you did anything to stop this shit show from happening.
Yeah.
None of you. So I don't want to hear it. There's a better option, and you helped make that not possible. And I can't forgive that. So I know that's harsh and we're going to get lots of hate mail and I'm sorry, but this is a little bit of a raw podcast because I'm
angry. I knew it was going to be and it needed to be.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back and we're not going anywhere till they shut us down or
till the media gets owned by the
Trumpocracy
and, you know, angry men with guns and militias come knock down Trav's door.
And then replace all the water and the crops with what's it called?
Oh, it's what plants crave.
It's what plants crave.
It's what plants crave.
Right.
Whatever it is. It's what plants crave.
Brondo or something. Like
Brondo.
That. Brondo.
Brondo.
Yes.
It's what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes. All right, so we're going to go chug some Brondo, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's been a struggle, but everything is fine if you're a straight white male muggle. We've tried to stay composed, cross our fingers, count to 10. But every time we get to 9, you fuck it up again. You took David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Prince and Sharon Jones, Terry Wogan, Ronnie Corbett, Carolina Hearn and Leonard Cohen. Victoria Wood was enough for us, but still you wanted more. Muhammad Ali, Gene Wilder and the Great British Bake was the final straw. You shot down a gorilla, we can't cure the Zika virus, and the woman's still to blame when men force their way inside us. Rod Turner's not a rapist, cause just look how fast he swims. Can someone get me Ambien to calm my shaking quim? Should we just try to unplug you and then plug you back in? Did your parents get divorced or did you just drink too much gin? God damn it, 2016 and on top of all of that, Cats is back on Broadway. Who the fuck did that? They're growing all the shootings both on Mass and by police. A spike in racist hate crimes and a bombing down in Nice. The death toll is upsetting and your politics are farce. Thank you 2016, you fucked us up the arse. Cause all over the world it's not looking good for you if you're female, Muslim, POC or LGBTQ. And God fucking forbid we'd let Hillary be in charge. Instead we get the spunk trumpets and fuckboys in this farce. Yes, you really took a dump when you let Pat Nugget for Rod. Need a racist referendum, who put that shitty frog in charge? Your Brexit was a dum-dum, now our country lives in fear. You really are the skid mark of all the shitty years. Yes, the USA's now governed by a fuck cheeto with hair, and it's not just in the States, the fucking clowns are everywhere. Fong, fong, fong. Three cheers for fucking Trumpy and his neo-Nazi crew. What a bloody nasty, messy booby fuck to do. We're sorry for the swearing, and we're sorry to be crude. But we're really cunting angry and it's all because of you. You laid an egg of solid tuck, you taste like made of wee. You garbage bag of bum dust, you're a shitty, shitty 2016. La 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 la.
Hello and welcome back to Irreverent Testimony. We are venting on America tonight.
Sorry, I was...
So hopefully America still loves us in the morning.
Yeah. But, sorry, I'm just angry, so, you know.
Well, it's understandable.
All right, so what are we talking about now?
You tell me.
Well, Trump, I guess.
So Trump is planning his big inauguration fest.
Yes.
And...
Gosh, he's having a hard time lining up performers.
Is he?
I mean,
really? He's having a hard time lining up performers. Let's talk about the Rockettes.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
Trump has asked, I think, nearly everyone in Hollywood to come perform at his inauguration, and they've all said, "Fuck you, no."
He only got John Voight and Dennis Miller.
He got Ted Nugent.
Sweet.
And I think that's about it.
Ted Nugent will yell about pussy into the mic and
yeah. Well, Dennis Miller will do that, and then Ted Nugent will do something about killing animals or something and guns. I don't know. Two things. The first thing, which is not about the Rockettes, is that there is this proposed idea that on Inauguration Day, there should be a, quote, freedom concert in which, like, Queen Bee, Beyonce, and, like, every famous person that ever existed...
To oppose it.
...would do a free show.
It's like Central Park or something?
In Central Park.
Yeah.
That would be televised everywhere, that everyone will watch...
Okay.
Thus taking away any coverage Trump might get of his inauguration.
Well,
which
that's
would be
not going to take away amazing. Coverage. It'll take away some coverage, maybe, but
I think more people want to watch Beyonce than they want to watch Ted Nugent and Trump.
Yeah, but see, a lot of people want to tune in to the Trump inauguration. I mean, not only his sycophant fans, but a lot of average Americans just to see if something crazy happens. If he yells, you know, grab the pussy in the mic when he's taking the oath of office or, you know, whatever.
Sure, but I like the idea of, like, taking away, like stealing his thunder, you know? I think it's a good idea. I think it's kind of brilliant. And I will absolutely not watch his inauguration. So if you're hoping for coverage of that from here, it won't be from me.
I probably will not watch either.
No. So the second thing that happened is he's having this really big problem with anyone wanting to perform. So he has been trying to sort of beg, borrow, and steal anyone that he can for it. And everyone has roundly told him, like, fuck you, no. So somehow he got the Rockettes to their union to agree to have them play or dance, I guess is what they do. And a lot of the Rockettes said, fuck no, I don't want to do that. No,
I'm
I don't want to do
I'm
that.
I'm not dancing for Trump.
I'm not dancing.
Way.
I'm not a fucking dancing monkey for that pussy grabber. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And the union came back and said,
you have to.
If you don't, you will lose your job. Update on that story is the union came back and said, like, that. So that happened, right? Like, they said, the union said, like, this is part of your contract, you have to. And the internet exploded on
sure.
them.
Yeah.
And so they have come back today and said, you don't, like, no one will lose their job if they object to dancing for Trump, which means that they're not going to play, likely.
Or they'll get scabs or backup Rockettes or.
Yeah, I don't, I, who knows? But at least people aren't losing their jobs over not wanting to be a dancing monkey for the pussy grabber, Cheeto Man.
Why doesn't he just get the Freedom Kids? Oh, that's right. They're suing him.
Oh, they're suing him. Yeah. Because
he
didn't pay
them.
He didn't pay them.
Because of course he
12 year old girls who sang and, oh God. Anyway, again, like just judging off of that story, why would anyone want to play the inauguration? You're not going to get paid and everyone's going to hate
you.
Yeah,
no, you're probably going to get stiffed.
You're going to get stiffed and everyone's going to hate you. So pass, I think is a pretty solid.
But you'll be on TV.
Yeah. Okay.
Americans love to be on TV.
Well, not any famous ones, apparently.
Well, forget famous ones. Just get all the people that go nuts
go
when they're
like
when
some,
they're
like,
no the people when they're on the NBA games and they're on the fan cam and they
lose their
mind because they're on a TV screen. Just get them to perform. They'll sing. And
there you go.
And
just get some like local band out of DC.
Oh
that,
yeah,
like,
they'll do it. Struggling.
You know.
Well, most of them probably wouldn't actually.
Ah, yeah, they probably wouldn't. Yeah, he's really struggling.
Maybe a struggling country, local country band.
Yes.
Or a cover band.
Yes.
Like 3/4 of my old cover band would do it.
I can't believe we used to know those people.
3/5.
God.
Of my old cover band.
Of your old cover band who we associated
would play
with.
Some Eagles tunes and
At Trump's
some
inauguration.
Pat Benatar.
Some of them were very faithful Trump supporters, but anyway.
At least one.
Uh-huh. So that was interesting. There was comments on Twitter around like how perfect Trump forces women to perform in front of him at inauguration. Like there's nothing more perfect than that. I like that the union sort of bowed down and listened to the criticism and
well, look, as an artist and a performing artist, that's an awful precedent, like, right? I mean, that's some like North Korea shit.
It is,
right? Like
you
must perform.
No, you
or we'll, you know, you'll lose your job, we'll throw you in the gulag, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's not how art works.
No.
Performing art or
no.
Yeah.
No. And everyone who says like, oh, you're just a blank musician, artist, whatever it is. Keep it to comedy. Keep it to music. Keep it to acting. Don't say politics stuff, right? That's like a pretty common.
Here's my bigger problem with that, right? Because you see some of the Trumpkins and the other right wingers saying, well, just what the hell, Rockheads? Do your job. I don't care. It's like, well, that doesn't apply to the
Congress.
No, I'm talking about, well, you seem to want to stand up for the cake bakers who don't want to bake the cakes for the gay people or the nuns who just can't stand to have the insurance they're associated with contraception. Why don't you yell at them to just do their jobs?
Kim Davis? about
why doesn't
Congress?
She just do her job?
Why is Merrick Garland not already a Supreme Court justice? Congress, do your job. Do your fucking job. Right? But yeah, I mean, there's something about art that people find offensive when it traipses into political life. And a lot of people like to say, you know, keep it to music, keep it to acting, don't be political. And it's like,
well, then
that's
don't
not,
ask the Rockettes to perform at the inauguration.
No, listen to me. That's bullshit. Art has always been political.
That's very true.
Art has always been political.
Very true.
Music specifically, but also all forms of art have always been political. It's
yes.
the way that we move the world forward. It's the way that art is an expression of what is happening in the world. And if what is happening in the world is Donald fucking Trump is the president, you better bet Ministry is going to make a really great album this year. And like, you know, there's going to be some great art and some great performance art and some amazing literature written. And that is what art does. So trying to separate the two is never going to happen.
Yeah.
Art is inherently political. It always has been.
That's a good, very good point.
Yeah.
I agree with that, Rachel.
Well, thanks. As an artist yourself.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
You tell me.
Well, let's see. I want to say something positive because I was very angry the last segment.
Uh-huh.
There's an Ebola vaccine.
Yeah, and I actually hadn't heard anything about it. Usually every Friday at my job, we go over sort of just like entire medical industry news as a whole, mostly as it relates to, you know, drugs that can be abused, whether that's opiates or amphetamines or, you know, benzos or what have you. But that stuff usually we hear about it too. We didn't hear about it today, but that is great news, obviously.
It is great news. It will most impact African countries.
Yeah, but Americans should care too, because remember the Ebola hysteria?
Well, exactly. Also, Americans should care too because Africans are people
who
shouldn't die of Ebola.
Look, let's not get carried away to margin.
Let's not care about people that aren't white Americans.
Marge in Kentucky, who's willing to lose her dying husband's health insurance because the blacks get too much something.
Yeah.
Let's not push her too
but
far.
Seriously, we should care because it matters. And my question with the Trump administration is, who's going to pay for that now?
Well, they don't want to pay for anything.
Right. So we have this vaccine. Awesome. What now?
Have to rely
sits in storage. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation pays for it, I guess. Charitable people pay. Like, this is a function of government. There is a disease that is deadly and extremely communicable. That is the job of government. If you want, even by conservative standards, if the job of government is to keep us safe, this is a mechanism by which to do that. So who the fuck's going to pay for it? It shouldn't be reliant on charitable foundations.
No,
it should be government organizations and you know, pseudo or non-governmental charities or whatever. Like, government should be paying for this. And
we're going to roll it back to the turn of the 20th century when it was charity that was anything to save anybody that wasn't rich.
Right.
It all had to be reliant on charity. That's what they wanted.
Which
do,
was rich white ladies.
Rich white ladies.
That didn't have anything else to do. They work now. So
the
we
Rockefellers
don't really have that.
And
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All nonprofits were staffed and run by rich white ladies, particularly charities. Most of them were religious based back in the day.
Yeah.
And that is why if you sort of follow the needle to where we are now, most nonprofit organizations are run by white women because that was the role of rich white ladies back in the day was, you know, serve your community and you don't work. So here's what you get to do. The problem with that is that, of course, representation. So the people that they are serving, nonprofits largely.
Uh-huh.
Weirdly never end up working in nonprofits because nonprofits are the function of rich white ladies who have nothing else to do.
Right.
And so we don't encourage the people who need our help to go into helping other people who need our help. We don't encourage the, like, you know, single Latina mother who's 17 to, like, we encourage her to do a lot of things, but one of those things is not do my job someday. Become a social worker. Become a this. Right? It's like, it's a weird thing in Western culture that we don't do. That's getting completely off the topic. But anyway, I don't know how we're going to distribute this Ebola medication, but it's a very good thing that happened in 2016.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to throw in some good news.
Yeah.
There once in a while. There's also been some breakthroughs for a potential HIV vaccine.
Yeah.
Which I've been reading about. So yeah. Science marches on as long as it can, as long as it's allowed to.
As long as it's funded.
As long as it's funded, which, you know, Republicans are going to try very hard to cut that funding dramatically.
Yep. And more we are going to rely on individuals to fund these things. That sucks, but hey, we voted for Trump, so, and Republicans. Yeah. That's what we get. Other garbage news, Tom York's partner died.
Yes.
Carrie Fisher had a heart attack on a plane.
That was today. Apparently she's in stable condition, supposedly, last we heard, but it's the internet, so who knows.
And it's 2016, so don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 days left. By the time
what else
hear
can
this,
go wrong?
It'll be 7 or 6.
Who else can die? What else can happen?
Maybe literally
a giant, like, meteor can just hit. I mean,
8 days left. 7 by the time you hear this, or 6. Just hold on, folks.
No, I'll publish the podcast before the turn.
Okay.
Before the ball drops in New York.
Well, obviously that'll be a week from now. But
are
by the time,
people still going to show up in Times Square and celebrate?
This year? So what we're doing,
I mean, I know they are, but should they?
No, this is what we're doing.
Okay.
Rather than ring in the new year, we are celebrating the death of the old year, which is a very South American custom, apparently.
Right.
And so you burn effigies of your enemies and things that represent things about the year you didn't like,
got a couple ideas.
A literal, like, collage the size of my house of things I didn't like about 2016.
Oh, well, that's a good excuse for us to get fireworks then.
We have to get fireworks. That's one of the traditions that we're doing.
All right, well.
Okay.
Okay, I better go get some fireworks.
You have to get fireworks. Okay. So we decided to do this. I work with this very lovely Venezuelan woman, and she was telling me all about New Year's, and she was telling me all about these traditions that they do, and we didn't do shit last year. Like, we just basically were like, meh.
I don't remember last year.
Last year, we were like, I don't want to go out. Do you? Nah.
What did we do? What did we even do?
We were at my house, and we, like, literally did nothing. We, like, hung out with Dana and Brenna and, like, ate pizza and drank a glass of champagne, and I think I was in bed by, like, 11. Like, we just didn't care.
I don't,
it was a
I literally
rough year.
Don't remember.
It was a really rough...
We thought 2015 was rough.
Lol. So this year, Dana...
Fools!
And fuck your superstition, I'm doing it. So Dana and I decided this year, we better be on our game.
Okay.
So we're doing all of the traditions that we could find around having a better year next year and also burning the effigy of 2016 that we can. And we have a list of activities, which if you want to know about them, I can post them online if you want. But there's things like, if you want sex in the new year and love, you put red panties on at midnight.
Oh.
If you want good luck and money.
Do I have to put red panties on?
Well, this is the question. If you want good luck and money, you put yellow panties on.
What if you want both?
You have to pick.
Ooh, that's tough.
I know.
Well, one often follows the other.
I mean, I'm putting on yellow panties. I got red covered. I'm putting on yellow panties.
Okay.
Because I feel like I don't need more.
I don't have any yellow boxers or panties.
Well, also, you can't buy them for yourself. They have to be gifted to you. So don't worry about it.
You got it covered?
Yeah, I got
it
covered.
All right.
I got this covered. But I do need to know red or yellow, for the record.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess yellow. I guess I'm okay on red, too. For the moment.
I mean, if you have... The Venezuelan lady was like, she calls it chaka-chaka. Sex or horniness or anything. I mean, just chaka-chaka.
Yeah.
She's like, mommy, if you have the money, the chaka chaka, it comes.
Well, that's what I just said.
It comes. Like, that's it comes too. Saying. The chaka chaka comes. So you put on yellow panties. And I was like, yeah, too. Exactly. Like, so I'm like, I actually agree with that. And the lady that we were with was like, I don't know. Like, you can't buy sex. And she was like,
oh, yes, you can.
You can buy sex, but mommy, you. No. What I'm saying is, when you have more money, things come easier. So does chaka chaka. And I was like, that's a fair point.
Well,
if you're not stressed about money and you have a ton of it.
Sure.
And also if you're like kind of doing the bachelor thing.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
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 So yellow boxers for you?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think that would be the prudent way to go.
All right. What's next?
Well, since we're keeping it lighter, what are some more things that we have to do on New Year's traditions?
So you have to put, you have to make a list of things that you wish, one for each month, 12 wishes.
Okay.
And then at midnight, you try to eat 12 grapes.
Oh,
in 1 minute.
The grapes thing I've done before. I think it's in multiple cultures.
Yeah, that's totally South American. There's multiple countries that do it down there. And each grape is meant to signify the wish that you had for that month.
Sure, yeah. The grapes thing I've done before.
Yeah, that's a thing. You have to get luggage. Okay. And carry it around for a minute to signify if you want to travel.
Sure.
So like you like run around with your luggage real quick in a circle.
I'm
going
to have to travel whether I want to or not. So sure.
Well, I want to travel in the new year. So I'm going to do that. Swing flaming balls above your head.
Swing flaming balls.
We're probably not going to do that because it sounds very unsafe.
How about we use sparklers?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, close if enough. We could just get sparklers and just like whirl them around a little bit, like, I feel like that would probably be sufficient.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, like, kiss at midnight.
Sure.
Bang pots and pans is a tradition that my family has. You go outside, you bang pots and pans, and you yell.
Well, I thought we were staying away from your family's traditions for the moment.
That's fair. there is put rice and beans in your pockets.
Especially if we can tell them, not only did we not do your tradition, I met a Venezuelan lady.
We did all the South American traditions.
And we even spoke Spanish.
And I will try all night just to spite them. No, so you put rice and beans in your pocket. That's supposed to signify good luck. You have to break a plate. You're supposed to actually go smash plates against your neighbor's doors.
Yeah, your neighbors already love you, so.
My neighbors fucking hate me, in case you guys didn't know.
So what's the worst that can happen?
This very lovely old woman lived in this house for 50 years before I moved in and bought it from her. And she was very quiet and kept everything the way that they wanted it. And then they got us, and they're adjusted yet 3 years later. So
I don't really have enough plates to where I can afford to break that many.
Well, no, I'm just like going to go to the dollar store and buy like a plate and break it, because I'm obviously not going to break it. They'll just call the cops. The point is, like, when you break the plates at your neighbor's door, whoever has the most plates broken at their door means that they're like the most beloved in the neighborhood.
So it'll only be your one next door neighbor who's beloved, because no one else is going to do this.
I might go break a plate on
Trisha's door?
Uh-huh, Trisha's door, because
well,
I love her.
Tell her in advance what we're doing.
Or maybe I just think we need to break a plate, just for posterity. Just for posterity. Like, I don't actually want to break a plate against Trisha's door. I think that might freak her out. You're supposed to eat apples and honey.
We're already eating grapes.
And donuts.
Donuts. That's a lot of sugar, babe.
I know. This is what I'm saying. I'm like, can I have a bite of a donut? And Dana's like, no, you have to eat a donut. And I'm like, and apples and honey?
And grapes.
And grapes? I feel like that's a lot of sugar. I'm not a sugar person. I'm like, that feels like a lot
and
of sugar.
Champagne.
And, well, obviously champagne.
It's got sugar.
Yes. So
we're going to be sugar buzzing while we're running around the neighborhood, smashing plates and swinging flaming balls above our head. So the Forever Testimony Bail Fund will be announcing.
Yeah. But we're going to try to make 2017 great again.
Well, that night's sure going to be something, at least.
Gifting silverware?
Yeah. To whom?
Anyone that you...
That needs it? I need some.
I know.
Perfect. That one's covered.
There's all kinds of little things we're going to... Jumping off a chair, which I can't do.
I can pull that knees. One off. I can pull that one off.
Yeah. I'm... Oh, my God. First footing. This is the most important thing. Okay. So whoever walks into or out of or crosses a threshold in the house...
Okay.
On... Like, after midnight strikes, that person should be the person that had the best luck in the year. This year is hard.
Which one of us is that?
It's you, we decided. Because
okay.
Now, because the deal is when whoever crosses the first foot through the threshold, either way, in or out, they share their mojo of the year with everyone else that's present.
Why did I have the best luck? Just because the job?
You got a job. Well, Dana got a job.
You got a job.
Lost them
Brennan
too.
Brennan got a job.
But everyone lost jobs too and then so got new jobs. No, but you lost your job in 2015.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So in 2016, right. You got a job. Right. You got a new apartment.
Yeah.
You had a pretty good year. Like, nobody died. Nothing terrible happened to you this year.
We got 8 days left.
I know. You're right. Left. I'm going to have to go turn around, spit, and curse 3 times because I said that. But assuming nothing changes, this year for you... Personally, although it was a dumpster fire, probably better.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Than us? I mean, no one had a good year, you know? But Dana can't be...
Brenna got out of Kansas.
She did. She did.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And out of a bad marriage and all the things.
Yeah. So. Well, Dana and I just were like, just as long as he and I don't walk through the door first, it should be fine. Him particularly. He's like, can I be last foot? And I'm like, you have to be. Like,
all right.
Don't. All right. So it's got to be
I
like.
I think it's debatable between me and Brenna, but I'll do it.
Trav, Brenna, Rach, Dana.
Okay.
Anyway, first footing. That's important. So don't step
I'm
foot.
I'm letting you coordinate all this.
Oh, no. We have a whole calendar, a schedule of all the things. It's okay, going to be very.
No way. I've already forgotten.
I know.
About grapes and a flaming donut.
Yes, exactly. Oh, like, I have a list.
Jumping off a chair.
I'm going to make a cutout. And it's going to have times. It's going to be very organized.
So everybody out there listening, I hope you've been taking notes because you're going to have to replicate everything we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Send us pictures.
The red panties, the yellow panties.
Mm-hmm. The grapes, the donuts, the apples, the
flaming balls, smashing rice, plates on your neighbor's door.
Plates, please. Oh my God, if you smash plates on your neighbor's door, please send me
this
a picture
This is all
of
legit,
that.
Right? This isn't your coworker just effing with you and
we looked it up online.
Hysterically?
We looked it up online and we looked at cultural traditions from tons of different countries and we compiled a list.
Just making sure.
So some of these are South American, some of these are European, some of these are from all over the world.
I don't think we have any
Russia. The grapes thing, I know from my friend Gio, but also could be. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought
the apples and honey thing is a Jewish thing, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it shows you what I know. what a terrible Jew I am.
Oh.
Yeah, but we have a different calendar.
I know, a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was like in May, probably, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, please send us pictures of things if you end up doing them. Because we have to communally try to do our very best to make 2017 not.
Well, we're clearly pulling out all the stops, it sounds like.
Sounds like we are. Our listeners need to do the same.
Yeah. So do you want to recap everything for our listeners? So they can, because right now they can grab a pen and write it all down.
Right. Okay. Red panties or yellow panties. You can't put them on the outside of your clothes, I was told. They have to be gifted to you by someone else. So, like, you have to buy one for your spouse or vice versa and or your friends.
Yeah, some people out there
probably get red panties essentially.
For
Christmas. Also, wear brand new clothes. Clothes you have not worn before.
Well, I don't know if I have.
On New Year's. And get to buy some. polka dots are a thing. So, I think I'm going to buy, like, yellow and red polka dot panties. So, we just combine a little thing there. You know? Apples with honey, ring bells, jump off chairs, put rice or beans in your pockets.
Rice and beans or rice or beans?
You can do either one or both. Also coins, so I'm going to make little baggies full of rice,
the beans
and a quarter.
Dry, right? We don't have
They're
to, like,
all
black
dry.
Beans and put them
so
in
like
our
dry rice, dry beans. I'm going to put dry rice, dry beans and a quarter into a bag and hand them to you all so you can put them in your pocket.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, jump off a chair, apples and honey, donuts.
Any particular kind of donuts?
Flaming balls above your head. No, any donut. You just have to eat it. And I'm like, can I have a bite? But that's not a thing. champagne, kiss at midnight, bang pots and pans outside. Yeah.
Smash the plate on your neighbor's
door. Smash the plate on your neighbor's door. There's a Russian thing where you have to get in cold water, which we're not doing. Like, I might get, like, a bucket of ice and we can put a foot in it or something, but, like, I'm not, like, jumping my entire body into cold water. That sounds awful.
The ice bucket challenge?
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that.
That was already a thing.
No. I'll just make a list. I'll send it to Travis and he can put it on the, in the show
maybe
notes.
Maybe I will. Yeah. If you really want to do that, I might do that.
That's the recap. But please do some of those things that you find interesting or fun, because I can't do another year like this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that mojo works, because we Lord knows we need something.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly can't rely on Bernie Sanders.
I'm going to get so much shit about that.
probably not that much.
But it's fine.
We're already getting shit because we said we had the audacity to say, yeah, we are going to vote for Hillary Clinton and stop the fascists.
I love her.
So.
Yeah. One other thing I want to bring up that isn't great news. We can end it on something later, but Trump today, his transition team, I shouldn't say he, I don't think he does much, asked the State Department for a list of people who had been working on any kind of women's issues or gender equality issues within the State Department.
And a lot of these were like violence against women prevention, like
getting girls to have education in third world countries.
Yeah.
Things that are vitally important to this is not domestic, right? This is the State Department, so this is global.
Right.
Women and people who work on issues that impact girls and women throughout the world.
And not terribly controversial things, like
no.
Things that only like a gargoyle would be.
This has nothing to do with fucking abortion.
Yeah.
This has to do with don't beat women, let them learn things and drive.
There's probably a task force against genital mutilation and honor killings and all that horrible, awful, disgusting stuff.
Correct.
And
they want a list of those people so that they can do we don't know what.
We don't know what, but it's probably not good.
I can't imagine it would be.
No.
So, again, not to be hysterical or hyperbolic, but, you know, these things have impact and they have, they matter. And it's not just about the loss. It's about what he does with the highest position in the country. And it's so far not looking so good.
Nope, not in the slightest.
Not even close.
But again, and I'm circling back to this again, right? Like, at a certain point, you can either be over or not over the fact that Bernie didn't win the nomination, so you hate us and you hate the Democratic Party and you hate Debbie Wasserman Schultz and you think it was all fixed. But now the party that is in power and the president that's in power is going to be actively working against the things you claim to care about, like climate change.
Yeah.
They are going to completely rip up anything.
The person he appointed to the EPA is a fucking joke.
Is a climate denier.
Is a climate change denier.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you guys are very passionate about that, and I get 800,000 emails a day, and you're meeting up, and you're protesting, and Hillary, and sometimes even Bernie, wasn't passionate enough about climate change. So now what? That you have an actively hostile government, are you going to do anything about it? I mean, outside of Facebook and Twitter, because that
doesn't count, by the way. In case anyone was wondering, I don't know if they were, that doesn't count.
It counts in as much as, hey, 10,000 of us are going to meet, you know, at the Capitol or something like that. Yeah, then it counts.
Well, it counts because I'm going to the Women's March on Inauguration Day in Denver. And I think there's like 120,000 people that are supposed to be there that are marching in protest of Trump for women's rights. And I'll be doing that. I don't think that's enough direct political action, but that is something that I think that will be newsworthy and that I'm doing. That's something I'm participating in. You and I have to, all of us have to get back into more direct political action.
We do. We have no choice now.
No, we don't. And you don't either, y'all. And I will tell you right out front, like, I'm a little fragile at the moment. I feel a little nihilistic, and I feel a little bit like I just, like, nothing matters and everything's awful. But I understand that's not true, and I understand it's not just about me, and that fight is bigger than my little feelings, my fifis. So yeah, we're going to get involved, and we're gonna do some direct political action coming up here soon. We just have to figure out the best way to do that, and we'll keep you involved. We'll let you know what we decide, and if you guys are doing things, please let us know. Please, yeah, if you want any, yeah, like,
absolutely,
a boost in an event that you're having, or awareness about email something that
us,
you're doing.
Tweet,
like,
to us.
Yeah, at I think it's at Irreverent Testimony on Twitter.
At Irreverent Duo.
At Irreverent Duo on Twitter.
Irreverent Testimony at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Which I haven't checked in a while.
Yeah. Let us know what you're doing and send pictures, and we will be very happy to boost anything that you guys are doing that's direct political action locally or on a national stage or whatever you're doing. And, you know, we always tell you to, like, get involved and stay engaged. And I know it's hard right now, and I'm having a hard time even engaging with the news. But here's the deal, you guys. We are the resistance. We're the last thing that makes a difference.
There's no cavalry coming to the rescue.
We are the cavalry.
The electors did not decide to all go choose Hillary.
No.
That was a pipe dream. The Democrats in Congress can only do so much.
They don't have any power at
this
point.
It's us, guys.
We
are it. We are the last line of defense.
I know you feel like I feel.
Between
you're
Trump
right.
and the abyss.
That's right. It's us. That's it. We're the end of it. So if we don't show up, the truth is no one's going to show up. And if no one shows up, I don't know how long we have a republic. I don't know how long the most marginalized among us are able to live in this country and have any modicum of rights or freedom. And I know it seems insurmountable, but there's enough of us that if we decide to do something, we can get it done. Look at the Tea Partiers, right? They hated Obama so much, and look at how much they accomplished. The best part is the truth and righteousness and justice is on our side this time. So if we can even come close to that level of passion and engagement, I think that we can make a huge difference. And I know how hard it is right now, but I'm just saying, like, come with me on this. Like, we have to. We have to. You have to use every bit of your privilege that you have, every bit of your voice that you have, every ounce of courage and energy and boldness that you have. And at the end of the day, that's all we can do. But we have to do everything that we can do. Right?
Yep. And on that note, I think we're going to go ahead and close it up here. Next week is tricky, but we will have a podcast for you.
Yeah.
And we will continue to be here for you on a weekly basis.
Yes, we will.
as long as the Republic stands.
Maybe after, too.
We didn't get to the nuclear Armageddon stuff, so we'll save that for you for next week.
Yes, Trav's an expert on that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that I'm an expert, but I did study a lot of Cold War stuff.
Yeah, it is kind of your area of expertise.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. It'll
certainly not Trump's area of expertise.
Horrifically depressing. And Travis should be president, apparently, because he knows more about it than the current president-elect.
We'll save a lot of people in the, for that matter.
That's true. Anyway, take care of yourselves. Self-care around the holidays. Don't let your family get to you too much. Write us and tweet us, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.
Stay close to the people close to you that you want to be close to.
Yeah.
We need each other, so.
Yeah.
You know, stay close and stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. Hit us up if you have something to say at Irreverent Duo on Twitter, irreverenttestimony@gmail.com. And Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Krampus.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
War on Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yeah, we'll get to that next time too. So you're a faithful foot soldiers in the war on Christmas. Yes. I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
Good night.